So, good morning. Again, we're going back on the record. Did the planning department want to follow up with anything, or should we go directly to the applicant?
Let's go directly to the applicant. There are a couple of things we would like to discuss.
Okay. So did the applicant want to follow up with anything?
Yes.
So I'm...
And your name again. For the
my name again is Robin Shoemaker.
And you remain under oath.
Thank you. So there were a few things, just kind of going in order of what we heard. And fortunately, as I mentioned before, we did have the opportunity to meet with three of the folks who testified today. And we appreciate that opportunity. And sorry to be a little out of breath. Way down the hill to park. So it was good for the heart. We first wanted to address Mr. Sheets. I hope I got your name correct. The comments that he made, and we do appreciate, we're all homeowners, or we dwell in locations, and we recognize that anytime there's a development, whether it's an existing use, largely as this is, or not, there are impacts that we want to be sensitive to. So we are going to bring up a couple of folks to talk about this, and I think the emergency access in particular related during construction and then the construction impacts that Mrs. Ruth brought up are going to be addressed by Brian Urban with Skanska. And I would like to comment on that just for a moment. One of the reasons that we decided to go the route we did on this project, a lot of public work is managed through a process that is a design, and then the next phase would be bidding, and the next phase would be construction. We actually used an alternative methodology, which has allowed us in the state of Washington, called the general contractor construction manager approach. And what that means is that we have had our contractor who will construct this facility on board with us since late last summer. And so they have walked with us through this design and brought to our attention things that would be of concern that they have to manage and mitigate during construction, and helped us look at this site in a manner that is hopefully going to have the least impact given the breadth of the project. And so we're going to talk about that. Brian is going to touch upon some issues that would talk about the hours of access to the site and how they plan to manage that and how they manage to contain themselves in certain parts of the site as the phases are being developed. And so that will hopefully answer some of the questions both about emergency access as well as the construction impacts. As to the environmental access, we are fully aware that the transportation facility, of course, is what it is. And so they have had fuel deliveries there over the years and do have some tanks for fuel storage, and that it was a prior racetrack area. And so we have had a geotechnical environmental engineer on board with us as we've looked at all the soils quality on the site and its development capabilities, as well as any underground issues. And so we're in the process of having those underground storage tanks removed. And as part of that, we will have a geotechnical engineer on site, environmental engineer on site during that process to make sure that there is no discovery made that we are not immediately correcting. And we will have, as part of our construction management plan, there was some identification given as to contacts of who would be available if there were any spills or concerns that emerge. And we will, of course, be redistributing information on that front to neighbors just so they can be in touch with a source that's more direct instead of having to go through a tier of bureaucracy of folks to really get a problem solved. Couple of other things that I wanted to just mention that we, to Mr. Shattuck's comment about our commitment to internal flow and circulation on the site, we have worked hard to get the queuing much improved for to the on-site condition, and we do affirm our commitment to working with issues that may arise via added signage or revised some circulation as needed to address a particular problem. And then we also, I wanted to mention, agree to accept the changes that the staff report mentioned on condition 43, I believe it was, in the staff report regarding aligning the language with the SEPA addendum. One of the things that I can appreciate about concerns about added folks visiting the site and using the fields, and anytime we have synthetic turf fields, that does allow longer use typically. I certainly do appreciate that. It is our duty and something we do pay attention to, that we are a public entity, we're using public dollars, and so we try to optimize the use on the site as much as possible, because we are honored that the taxpayers believe in us enough to make improvements, and so that we want to make those as useful to the public as possible. And yet we do realize that there that inherits also a bit of a management issue in terms of gating and having controls on lights and when they would be turned off at hours of non-use. So we certainly are always sensitive to that, always try to protect the interests of neighbors in how we manage our sites. But at the same time, we do want to avail the facilities to the public use. I think often the school districts in most areas around here also assist the Parks Department in providing resources for intramural sports that are not school affiliated. And I think that everybody enjoys seeing those children and adults use the facilities in a positive way. So those are the primary things I want to mention. We do want to, as I said, bring up Brian Urban from Skanska, and then Doreen Gavin from HBL will address the drainage. And did we have anybody else we wanted to touch upon? One thing is I would just conclude my initial comments here on is the security of the site. And we really appreciate hearing about untoward activities that could be occurring on our sites. And we hope that with the development we have and some of the lighting, everything has a double-edged sword about it, but with some of the lighting that will allow or prove to be a resource that would control some of that untoward activity better. We do plan to have a series of gates throughout the site and use them as much as possible. Again, though, we want our sites to be accessible and visible to law enforcement as well, so that it's easy for folks to be using the facilities, and usually that is somewhat of a deterrent in of itself to untoward activity. So we definitely are hearing our populace, and we want to manage this to the benefit of everyone. So, Brian, I think I'm going to start with you to come on up.
Good morning.
Morning.
Your name for the record?
Brian Urban with Skanska.
And you swear to tell the truth today?
I do. So to address some of the concerns that have been brought up, traffic concerns, and namely the emergency vehicle access, we share those concerns as well. Given it's a construction site, we want to make sure that we have access for those vehicles. We're going to build into our bid packages, which are the public documents that go out on the street for bidding, that deliveries are limited to times that there isn't the traffic coming in and out. So we haven't bound out on the times yet, but it'll be somewhere between 10 and 1:30 we'll take the majority of our deliveries. Our craft, the hours are typically 7 to 3:30, and we can adjust those slightly up or down to accommodate congestion. But the hope is that the craft is on the site before congestion starts and they leave after the kids have left. So we'll limit the number of trucks and hopefully eliminate completely during those peak times of drop-off and pick-up for the schools. Another thing that should be noted is that the way the civil engineer has designed the project is that the site is what they call balanced, and the soils are predominantly contained on site. And so it's not a large export or import effort where there's going to be trucks hauling dirt off or bringing it in. There will be some, but it will be limited. In regards to dust on the weekends and during the construction, we build into our bid packages that the earthwork subcontractor has a water truck on site full time, and that will be watered on an as-needed basis. In regards to weekends, that truck will be available on the weekends on an on-call basis. We have one of our individuals that's an assistant superintendent on site that lives within a few blocks of the school, and he has the ability to monitor the weather and the conditions and call out the subcontractor to water the soils if needed on the weekend. Also, in regards to dust and noise, the predominant location for the construction activities, you can see on the screen above there, is on the other side of the existing middle school. So that middle school will act somewhat as a buffer for construction noise to the residents that are on the west side. The activities along Frontier will be predominantly limited to the initial phase, which will be July through September, and then again at the end of the project, which would be May through probably August of 2019. So predominantly the work is going to be on the other side of the site, and hopefully not impact those residents and the traffic on Frontier. In regards to noise itself, we understand the impact of construction trucks and the backup noise that they do make, the beeping. There's not much that we can do about that. That's a safety concern, and to not have the beeping would be a danger to our craft. So we'll do the best we can to limit it, but that is a safety concern that we can't back away from. Another thing to note is the overall duration is currently not projected to be 3 years. We're looking at ways to reduce that. We've been successful in taking a number of months off of that, but we're not bottomed out on the overall duration yet. But it currently is not projected to be 3 years. I believe those were all the items that were addressed to the contractor. Is there any I missed? Sure. As far as communication plan, the surrounding neighbors, it's typically our practice to have a face-to-face introduction with the surrounding neighbors and hand out leaflets that give information on who to contact in the event of a disturbance, or if they see something going on the site that could be of issue. We really look at our neighbors as a benefit to the construction process. You know, they're around the site on hours that we're not typically there. And so having their participation, that if they see something going on site that could be of concern to us, that there's that open communication both ways. And so they're kind of our eyes and ears at times when we're not there. But we like to build those relationships and make sure that they have an open pathway to talk to us with any concerns. Anything else? All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Morning.
Good morning. My name is Doreen Gavin, and I swear to tell the truth.
Thank you.
I am the project civil engineer. I'm a registered civil engineer in Washington State, and I am responsible for the civil design, including the stormwater. So I'm going to speak just a few minutes on the site stormwater. Staff hearing report had several conditions governing stormwater management, specifically conditions 27 through 39, and the project is required to conform with all of the conditions laid out in the Kitsap County Code Title 12, which governs stormwater management. The concerns specifically were about drainage from the site that sheet flows or travels to the east along Dahl Road. In particular, we know that Huey Field currently has under drains that discharge along the east slope. Huey Field will be reconfigured and reconstructed with this project. New under drains will be put underneath the field, and a tight line storm pipe will be constructed on school property right along the east property line at the top of the slope and connect directly into a county storm main in Buckland Hill Road. The stormwater will be much improved in that it will not be allowed to sheet flow uncontrolled off the east slope, but will be collected and discharged directly into the storm pipe. And that's all I have, unless you have any questions about that.
No.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
If I may return again, I'm still under oath. Yep. I did want
I
to mention
your name, but just
Robin Shoemaker. Yeah. I didn't probably bore as much into security as I could have. I did want to mention that as part of this project, we will be having security cameras around the site. We haven't determined how many or how broad-reaching they will be. We'll also have them in the school, but they will be an added resource to us for managing the site and anything outside of normal business hours that would be a concern to neighbors. And we do encourage our neighbors certainly to be in touch with us if they see anything that really is suspicious or of concern. So our emphasis, one of our points of emphasis with this project is, and all of our bond program is security, and not so much about the site, but we are also putting security vestibules in the buildings, and so trying to control the safety on the site for our staff and students. Is there any questions that you have of me before I
sit? I don't think so. You know, I was curious, the state has green building standards for schools. I was just curious if you all had anything to add on regarding those.
Well, we are following the Washington State School Protocol, WSSP. That is part of our, as part of our funding model, we have both the voter-approved bond as well as state construction assistance. And that is the path, one of the obligations and a duty that we include in our delivery of projects. So we'll be following that. And we have been looking at ways, of course, we talked about stormwater. One of the things that we still have continued to discuss is the opportunity for solar, future solar connection. We have, you know, quite an expansive roof that we will be able to potentially have some solar connection and panels for to manage utility load.
Okay. I wonder if those protocols could be made part of the record. There were,
the WSSP protocols?
Yeah.
We don't have them with us today, but we can certainly provide them.
Maybe if you could provide those, email those to Ms. Santos, if you'd like to.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. I think that's all. Unless, did the applicant have anything else? Anything else from
I don't think so. One thing I did want to mention, and I'll try to work with my mouse here again, we've talked about the I failed to mention this earlier, the location of that trail that would exit from the site to the east is about in this location, and that kind of correlates with if we move further east to where a YMCA would be. And it is part of what, since we started the project, a discussion we've been having with our county about trails and just access for pedestrians for healthy lifestyle living. And so Mr. Smith earlier showed our pedestrian circulation around the site, which is extensive. And, you know, we want our students through track and field and cross country to utilize those. But we also want those to be available to the citizenry so they can go from the downtown core back up into our site via this avenue. And, of course, they can access all along the right-of-way improvements that will be made from the west and this west and the north. So, but that is that location that right now that is a private road in this area and private property, but there is some development being looked at by private developers that are interested in having pedestrian access. And we have talked to them about the possibility of that connection eventually. And so we hope for the benefit of Silverdale that it can be accommodated at some point in the future. So, but it does come off of this location generally in that area.
Okay.
I think that's all I had.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And did planning have anything else?
Jeff Smith, DCD. There was a comment about traffic stoppage and associated with the construction and emergency vehicles not being able to provide access to people in the neighborhood.
We did hear about the staggering of the construction vehicles.
Yeah, but another element of this is one of the elements of the site development activity permit process mm-hmm. that follows preliminary land use approval mm-hmm. Is that the contractor is required to apply for a traffic control plan that lays out how traffic's going to flow around the site, scheduled blockage, or if there's some lanes that are going to be impacted. The Public Works is pretty stringent on this, and they'll make sure there's an adequate flow of traffic around this in this mm-hmm. area. They have the ability to put out notification to the neighbors via email and also on their page on the internet. If people have complaints, they can call KITSAP 1, and those complaints will be forwarded to KITSAP Public Works.
Okay. Anything else from the planning department? Okay. I think what I'll do, we'll just keep the record open through tomorrow, and then that'll allow you to email those protocols to Ms. Santos. I am going to approve this. I do need to think through, review all the conditions, and think through the comment. So there may be some adjustments on that, but the CUP itself for this proposal is going to be approved. I think that with the conditions and with the extensive analysis that has been prepared, the requirements that I'm required to address and issue in a CUP have been adequately addressed. But I do need to give some thought to all of the conditions and to further consider the comment to make sure everything is fully addressed to ensure that compatibility and all of that. Decision on this will be issued within 10 days of close of business tomorrow, and then that will be emailed to Ms. Santos, and then she'll provide it to the applicant and then anyone else here who provided testimony. And if there, of course, as the record's open, if there's anything else that anyone forgot to say, please feel free to email that to Ms. Santos. But I do have all the comments that were submitted today and that were previously in the record. So thank you all for providing testimony and all of this. I think it provided some very good input and assistance in reviewing this from both the applicant and from the public. So thank you all.
Nice with your